Hallelujah. Turn to the first chapter of the book of Esther. Your pastor told me on the phone he talked on Esther last week. Here's something you need to know. My brother who's filming this says, Deke, are you going to be walking around again? I can't help it. I'm Jewish. How many heard of the wandering Jews? You know, once it gets in your blood, you can't get it out. The book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that out front never mentions God, Lord, or a higher deity. How many knew that before? How many are old enough to remember Paul Harvey? Good day. You remember he used to say, and now the rest of the story. You're going to hear the rest of the story. Because five times in the book of Esther, they hid the name of God for the future to see it. The reason was they were under Persian captivity. If the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been mentioned, the book would have been destroyed. So God had them hide the name of God five times. Four times it spells out in Hebrew, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Hebrew letters for what we say we pronounce Jehovah. And one time it spells out Elohim. He was the, when God created the world, glory to God, he used the name Elohim. So you're going to hear where the five times are. First, I want to go over just some preliminaries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to look at the book of Esther, starting with verse 2. In those days when King Ahasuerus, I'm in the New King James, sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the citadel, that in the third year of his reign he made a feast for all his officials, servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles, and the princes of the provinces long before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. And when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel, from great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. And it mentions all the beauty they had. Look at verse 7. And they served drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with royal wine in abundance, according to the generosity of the king. Oh, I love this. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory. In other words, no one was forced to drink. For so the king had ordered all the officers of his household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. Let's thank the Lord for his word. Father, I thank you for your word. For your word says it will not return void, but accomplish what you please. Prosper where you send it. This day your word is not returning void. It's accomplishing what you please, prospering in the hearts and the lives. The people at the sound of this voice in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I never forgot, decades ago, we're at a conference and an Assembly of God minister brought this out. This first chapter was prophetic to the days we're living in. How many believe this was the day and hour for the outpouring? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, it says here when they had royal wine, each man could take as much as he wanted. Some were sippers. Some thought, I don't get this that often. Give me some more. Listen to that spiritually. The Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. Spiritual royal wine from the King of Kings. You with me? The Lord of Lords. We can drink in as much of the Holy Spirit in these last days as we want. Now, are there some Christians out there who are sippers? My wife and I want as much of the Holy Ghost as we can get a hold of. Hallelujah. The Jews always related this to the king in heaven. I love verse 5. It says, from the least to the greatest. The king opened the door for everybody, not just royalty. To be in the king's palace was a privilege. Today, we're privileged to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to skip on to the hidden names of God in Esther. This is so remarkable that God's name is not mentioned out front. In fact, that in 167 verses of the Bible, the king is mentioned 192 times. His title, Ahasuerus, is there 29 times. His kingdom is mentioned 26 times. But God was not silent. In the ancient biblical Hebrew, there were five places, as I mentioned, the name of God was hidden. Hallelujah. Here's how they did it. They took letters in either the beginning or the ends of Hebrew words, elongated those letters, emboldened them, and the ones that were emboldened spelled out God's names. The Persians and the world never saw this. In the first chapter, the 20th verse, without reading it all, I'm just going to go to the main ones. You'll love this. It says, when the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout his empire, for it is great, all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. Where it says in English, all wives will honor. Hallelujah. Those Hebrew words there, the initial letters spelled backwards, spelled out Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, because it says Jehovah was overruling and turning back the counsels of evil men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see in verses, the chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, Haman, how many heard of Haman, that evil man that wanted to destroy all the Jews, plotted against the Jews. In chapter 4, Esther was used to intervene. And in chapter 6, Haman was humiliated and put to death. Now skip over to the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter, the 4th verse. In English it says, so Esther answered, if it pleases the king, she's pleading with him, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. This was the plan to turn things around. Where it says in English, let the king and Haman come this day. Oh, hallelujah. The second pivot, you see on these five verses, the story makes a supernatural turn. Hallelujah. This is the second pivot where the story turns. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Jehovah, is read in the invitation, suggesting there was a fourth person in the banquet. Jehovah was read right there, and the world missed it, meaning he's going to be there to turn things around. The third time, look at the 5th chapter again, the 13th verse. Hallelujah. It says, yet all this avails me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. He was trying to convince the king to destroy Mordecai, the uncle of Esther. Hallelujah. The English words that says, this availeth me nothing. They were uttered by Haman. And this was the beginning of the end for Haman. Again, Jehovah was used with those four Hebrew letters. It was formed by the final letters of four Hebrew words. Why were the end letters used? Because the end of Haman was just a few verses later. How many know we're victorious in Jesus? Hallelujah. How many know we don't have to fight our battles? God is doing it. Praise God. It was also spelled backwards. For the Lord was turning back Haman's counsel. It was his last day to be alive. Look at the 7th chapter one time. The 7th chapter, verse 5, where it says, "So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, 'Who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing?'" Now the king was mad. Esther was his favorite because God gave her favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where it says in English, "Who is he and where is he?" The Creator was mentioned. Yahweh, with 5 Hebrew letters, formed again by the final letters of the Hebrew in the scripture. Again, they were elongated. The end letters, sometimes it was the front letters, and they were emboldened, and the world never caught it. Hallelujah. The king unconsciously gave the name of Elohim, our Creator, who came down to deliver his people. He delivered as Elohim the Jewish people from Pharaoh's hand, and now he was delivering the Jews from the hand of Haman. Throughout the centuries, from the days of Abraham, Satan has tried to wipe out the Jewish people. Because if he could wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth, prophecy comes to an end. When Jesus was born, he wanted to end Jesus' life. And here they saved him. He tried to end Moses' life because he was going to be used by God to lead the people out of Egypt. Again, baby boys up to 2 years old were slaughtered, but God saved Jesus. He said, "Go over to Egypt where this nincompoop can't find you." It's okay to use nincompoop, brother. When the Holocaust took place, I learned this 4 decades ago from a leading Assembly of God minister who really had the word down. He said, "Satan doesn't know everything, but he gets premonitions. Somehow he knew it was coming to the time where Israel would become a nation. And he inspired demonic Hitler to try to kill every Jew on the face of the earth. He almost wiped out every Jewish person in Europe. There wasn't much more than 6 million there, maybe 1 million more. Israel became a nation. Now prophecies unfolding before our eyes. And he's using Hamas and Iran. Iran trained Hamas for 2 years for the October 7th attack. He's still trying to wipe out Israel. He'll never do it. Now, don't get me wrong. Do those Jews need Jesus? Yes. I don't say that just because I found Jesus. I say it because the Word says so. Peter himself, the Apostle Peter, you can't get much more Jewish than the Apostle Peter. He said, "There's no name under heaven by which we can be saved other than Jesus," in the book of Acts. But God still loves Israel, and they're part of prophecy. So Haman was defeated. Hallelujah. It was his last day. Praise God. Praise God. And of course, like I said in the 7th chapter, the 5th verse, who is he and where is he? Final letters. Haman, like Pharaoh, sought to destroy the whole nation. This would destroy all hope of the coming Messiah. Hallelujah. You see, they didn't realize Esther was Jewish till after she was elevated to the highest position. Again in the 5th chapter, the 7th verse. The 7th chapter, the 7th verse. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. The English that says that there was evil determined against him. Hallelujah. Again, Jehovah was spelled out. Haman was hung on his own gallows against him. Again, this one was formed by the final letters in four Hebrew words. The final letters spelled forward. Hallelujah. Again, the Jews teach a fourth person was there. The Orthodox Jews teach a fourth person was there. When I get a chance, I show them this was the pre-incarnate Messiah Jesus. Hallelujah. The same one who danced with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Amen. Hallelujah. Jehovah himself was there. He is still, according to Hebrews 13:8, the God of the impossible. How many believe that to this day? Hallelujah. We love coming to Assembly of God churches that are still Pentecostal. I'm not knocking the others, because you know about a miracle working God. And I ask everybody who needs a miracle in your life, your family, your finances, you don't have to stand, raise a hand toward heaven. Hallelujah. You need a miracle. This doesn't mean you lack faith or out of fellowship with God or don't know how to pray. It means you're in a circumstance where you just need a miracle. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you a miracle that happened to us a few years ago. My wife and I were driving to Georgia, and well, this was a couple decades ago. We were driving most places, and our car was older, but we kept it right. We thought we did. We stopped in Shreveport, and all of a sudden it was breaking down, and we pulled in front of one of those, a store like 7-Eleven. I don't remember it was 7-Eleven. So I said, just wait here, to my wife and daughter, and I went out and opened up the hood. I didn't know what to do, and I stood there. We just needed a miracle right there. A man coming out of the store with a bag in his hand, I don't know what he bought, he said, do you guys need help? I said, oh, yes, sir, we do. Hallelujah. Now get ready. He towed us to his mechanic. Then he gave us money to help pay to get it fixed. Now get ready. And then he stood there and told me, he said, you know, I was praying this morning and God said, you're going to help somebody today. Just get going. How many know God doesn't need to tell you everything? We just need to be obedient. He said, well, I needed to pick something up at the store for my wife. So I drove up. When I saw you guys out there with your hood up, the Lord said, that's them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that a miracle?
Yes.
And then I'm a people person. We're sitting down and talking with another gentleman that's getting his car fixed, and he gets up and pulls me aside, and he said, would it be okay if I give you $100 to help pay this bill? Glory to God. These things don't happen in the natural, but he's a miracle-working God. How many know? No, we're going to first, I'm going to have you raise your hand again, and we're going to kick the devil in the teeth. Christians cannot be demon-possessed. Y'all with me? But Jesus said Satan's a liar. How many believe that? He also said only the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what do you say? Raise your hand, those that need a miracle. In your family, your finances, your health. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name because Satan's defeated under our feet. We kick the devil and his cohorts in the teeth in Jesus' name. Take your hands off of these precious brothers and sisters, their families, their finances, their physical bodies in Jesus' name. And we charge the ministering spirits. For Scripture says the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for us, the heirs of salvation. Charge the ministering spirits, go forth, bring in the blessings they need. Hallelujah. Bring in the people they need to meet to help them. Hallelujah. Bring in the finances, because as they give, it shall be given unto them. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto them in Jesus' name. Amen.